Welcome back. Second half hour tonight. Who's talking? Habbo and Frank with you. We thank Dr. Jody Smith, and as Frank mentioned, we really appreciate not only Jody, but all the docs that joined us during the football season, and Ortho Virginia has been a sponsor from day one. This is the end of 4 years now for Who's Talking. Well, not the end.
The beginning.
This is our last Monday show. The Flying Squirrels take over, I guess, later this week. There'll be some information before we close tonight on a couple special shows we may have later in April and May. But anyway, right now, Frank is going to bring us up to date with some University of Virginia alumni activities that are going on here in the Richmond metropolitan area in the coming days.
Well, the UVA Club of Richmond is hosting the Downtown Luncheon Speaker Series, and this Thursday, April the 4th, how about that, at 11:45 at the Bull and Bear Club, they've got Jeff White, who provides a lot of content for virginiasports.com. They'll be down at the Bull and Bear Club. Jeff White, Director of News Content, is official title for virginiasports.com. He will be speaking, and they always have incredible food at the Bull and Bear Club. Anyway, this is 11:45 this Thursday down there at the Bull and Bear. Jeff White, UVA Club of Richmond. And let's see if we got some details. You can register at the door, or you can pre-register. Go to www.richmondwhos.com. Click on the club events calendar, click on the link, and then you can register from there. I think admission is $25 for club members or non-club members, $20 for club members.
Right. You and I have been to those functions before, as you say. Nice buffet at the top of the James Center at the Bull and Bear, and Jeff White, I think, will be in a position to provide some real insight into Virginia athletics, all 25 teams. And, of course, he's the former beat writer for the Times-Dispatch before he took the position within the athletic department, but I think we may have Chris Wright here momentarily. Frank, still got one more announcement.
One more thing. The spring banquet for the UVA Club of Richmond is Thursday, April 18th, and that will be at the Country Club of Virginia. And same deal, just go to the richmondwhos.com website, click on that club events calendar, and register in that fashion. That's going to be a terrific night. Guest speaker is Jody Lahendro, who will be speaking about the University of Virginia and historic preservation, glimpsing the past while designing the future. So that's always a wonderful event up at CCV.
Absolutely. Chris Wright, the executive editor, he's the guru at the Saber. So, Chris, are you with us?
I am. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. I think Frank wants to talk a little football tonight.
Football.
And we'll follow it up maybe at the tail end with a little basketball discussion as well. Frank?
Oh, we've talked basketball to death, Habbo.
What do they say? The ACC has been and always will be a basketball league.
Except when people want to talk football.
Okay. Particularly with two ACC teams in the Final Four, Syracuse and Louisville,
Future. All right. Chris, you got the spring game coming up this Saturday, but there's a lot of sweaty palms or hand-wringing going on now. Who's going to be the quarterback, certainly the number one quarterback? And apparently there's an open competition. And just generally, what are your thoughts on spring football at UVA?
Well, we've been asking the quarterback question every spring since 2007. That in and of itself is part of the problem with where Virginia football has been over the last, three quarters of a decade.
We've been asking the question. We haven't gotten the answer yet.
Exactly. Every spring you ask who the quarterback's going to be, and the answer is never concrete. You never really know who's going to take hold of the thing and be the quarterback. And that's true again this year. Phillip Sims was the guy that everybody thought it would be. But now in the spring, it looks like David Watford and Grayson Lambert are making a race out of it. So we'll see if any of those guys steps up, over the course of the summer and the rest of spring practice to really take a hold of the job early in August camp, because I think they need to decide. I don't think they can spend August trying to figure out who their quarterback is with BYU and Oregon to start the season unless you're trying to start 0-2 just because your offense won't be super comfortable for any quarterback if you can't choose one.
Well, clearly with the new offensive coordinator – and Tom O'Brien now roaming the sidelines, it looks like head coach Mike London's going to focus more on the defensive line and the linebackers. It's clearly an open quarterback competition here in the spring. you know, Watford has more seniority in the program. He's the most versatile. He's the fastest. He always had a decent arm. Maybe his accuracy has improved, and maybe he understands how to run an offense now. Maybe Fairchild wants a guy that can get to the corner, right?
I mean, before Fairchild even got here, there was a kind of a light bulb moment for David Watford. He basically said, as a quarterback himself, he said, "I wasn't watching film the correct way." He told me that 2 weeks ago when we were talking to him after practice. He said, "I was doing the work, but I wasn't getting anything out of it." And so he's really kind of buckled down and become a bit of a film rat. And that's one reason that he's found his way to the top of the depth chart, which doesn't mean a whole lot right now. The depth chart can be mixed and matched in really any way you want it to in the spring. But the reason Watford is getting a lot of first-team snaps is because he's kind of rededicated himself to being a better quarterback and not just an athlete that can run around and make plays. So if he's improved his accuracy and improved his reads, yes, he does have the speed to get to the edge if something goes wrong, or to, you know, just get away from pressure to elongate plays if the offensive line has some trouble, which it did last year. So I think that's why Watford's at the top of the depth chart right now. We'll see if he stays there.
All right, you just touched on the next big question, Virginia's offensive line. Connor Davis has a little bit of a shoulder issue, but other than that, it looks like everybody else, Morgan Moses included, is doing a little bit better. Don't you think the offensive line should be a little bit more protective this coming year?
I think any time the center position has more experience than it did last year, it usually bodes well for an offensive line. So with Luke Belanco back to hold down that center spot after a kind of a year of getting his feet under him at that particular position. And remember, he didn't practice last spring. He was out last spring. So I think with him being a little more mature at center, Moses over there now at left tackle, Cascarano's played some up and down the line. So there's another guy with experience. I think this group will be better overall than last year's group was, even though the tackle position looked better last year than the overall line did at the time. So I think there's a chance for the line to be better this year, even though Ibushi is gone, simply because I think more guys have more experience at some critical spots in the interior.
Who moves to Ibushi's left tackle spot?
Moses is flipping sides. He's going to go over to the left tackle. And right now, Cascarano and Jay Whitmire are competing to be the guy at right tackle.
All right. And the guard situation, where are we now? Could you hear me?
I lost you for a second. But obviously, Connor Davis is dealing with a shoulder issue. Ross Burbank, who originally started his career at center and played some guard last year, is kind of a guy that's in there. Cody Wallace is a guy that's in there at the guard position. He played some left guard last year. So a lot of guys that have some experience. And then you have some redshirt folks getting into the mix, like a Ryan Duell from Canada is a name that we're hearing pop up a lot. So a lot of different guards that could be in the mix for playing time this particular season.
Chris, we're visiting with Chris Wright, by the way, of thesaber.com. We've talked to Frank, asking a lot of offense questions. How about the defense? They're going to have some challenges early in the season against BYU and Oregon. So how's the defense going to stack up?
Yeah, right down the middle is where you're really looking at the questions at. Defensive tackle with Chris Brathwaite is not eligible. Will Hill obviously finished his eligibility up. So the tackle position is a big question mark. And obviously with Steve Greer and Leroy Reynolds both gone out of the linebacker core, those two guys led the team in tackles. Something like 35% of the team's tackles came from those two guys, if I remember my numbers right. So the linebacker spot is one that's interesting with Henry Coley and Quanti Moore and DJ Hill and some of those guys trying to get into the mix there. So really right down the middle is where you're looking at on defense. If they can get that figured out, both defensive tackle and linebacker, I think the defense, you know, with a little more aggressive attitude, that's what we keep hearing this spring, is more aggressive, more aggressive, more aggressive. I think if they can get those two spots figured out and, you know, get on board with a new attitude, this could be a very good defense.
Well, you do have Jake Snyder back. He'll be a senior, right?
Yeah, Jake Snyder out on the edge has looked pretty good from what I'm hearing out of practices this spring as a returning defensive end.
And you have Brent Urban, who was really coming on late last year. He's playing tackle. What players are going to fill in there? And at linebacker, Quante Moore, you know, was supposed to be this all-world recruit. Isn't this his chance to show what he's made of?
Yeah, no, you're right. Brent Urban at defensive tackle. The other guys in there are David Dean and Justin Renfro. Mm-hmm. A couple of the incoming freshmen are going to have a chance to throw their hat in the ring when they get here in the fall. So that's defensive tackle. At linebacker right now, Henry Coley is at the top of the middle linebacker group. Now, again, the depth chart doesn't mean much in the spring, so we'll see how it pans out. And Coley is a guy that can flip outside if Quante Moore comes on to become the middle linebacker starter. So right now you're looking at Coley in the middle, but Moore, you know, he's still young. Like, he's a true sophomore. A lot of times it takes a while for linebackers to really get their feet under them, particularly in the middle, and be able to be the guy that makes all the calls and makes all the adjustments kind of from that spot in the linebacker core. And that's something that Greer was really good at, readjusting the defensive line in front of him.
I'm not worried about the secondary. Maurice Kennedy is coming on like a freight train. You've got Anthony Harris, who's also a local product. Demetrius Nicholson is a nightmare for most quarterbacks. It seems to me that they've got the secondary figured out. Now they've just got to sort through the defensive line issues. One piece of good news that I've been picking up on lately is Chris Braithwaite is at Piedmont Community College getting some classes squared away, and I think he'll be back in the program, don't you think?
I think so. He's been at every practice that I've seen this spring. So if he's still coming to practice and he's taking classes locally, that sounds like a guy that is focused on getting back to Virginia versus just transferring and moving on. So
that reminds me a lot of Jameel Sewell, who has been a guest on the program and made an excellent comeback and contributed quite a bit when he got back to Virginia.
Yeah, that's the exact path that Jameel took. Local classes. He even helped out a local high school team while he was on the year off. So we'll see if Chris can get back from everything I hear. He is kind of buckled down on trying to get back to Virginia.
Chris, special teams, I guess that's, you know, they had some issues last year with special teams. How will they take corrective action going into next year?
They've been spending an awful lot of time on it in spring practice. I don't remember every open practice I go to in the past having long special team sections. And so far, the ones I've been to this spring, it's not just that they're working on special teams, it's that longer sessions working on it. And really, in the breakdown phase, it's not like they're just lining 11 guys up and running down the field and trying to tackle a punt returner. They're doing two or three guys at a time and really focusing on the individual efforts that are required to make special teams work. So will that pay off? We'll see. But I think just having fresh blood in there and a new perspective will give that group a boost kind of off the top. The other thing I think that's important is you won't have as many young people in theory, on those special teams units. With depth issues on the roster the last couple of years, they've been throwing true freshmen out there like candy on special teams, and that's affected the performance a little bit.
Chris, we might bring you back and maybe Chris Horn back on April 24th. That's a Wednesday. That'll be a bonus show for our listeners. This is our last Monday show of Season 4, but we certainly have appreciated all your contributions all 4 years, and Hobbo and I are bullish on the football team. I think despite some of these defensive line shuffles and the quarterback question, I think the talent at quarterback is better than it's been. And I see Virginia being very competitive in football. I think the schedule is brutal crazy, but I do think this is going to be a good football team next year.
You know, the fact of the matter is Coach London and his staff have had success recruiting, and eventually, you recruit good players, it's going to show up on the field eventually.
And Virginia's got running backs, baby. Running back Kevin Parks is ready to go. He told me, sort of through osmosis. He says he's ready to go. He's 195 pounds, ready to carry the rock.
And the Clifton, Shepherd kid, right?
Clifton Richardson is healthy again, right, Chris?
He says he's healthy. He said last week he didn't think he really felt good until the Virginia Tech game last year. Of course, that was the 12th game of the season. So he's also said he's dropped about 15 pounds. So Richardson sounds like he's ready to go.
And you've got Kai Morgan is ready to play, and you got Kalik Shepherd in there somewhere. Virginia has four terrific running backs. I'm just hoping the offensive line can regain some swagger. I think if they do, Watford, Sims, and Grayson Lambert, they can all be successful back there. Chris, we're going to let you go. We're headed to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Olympic sports and the upcoming spring football game. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.